Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you not only to defend the historic Christian faith, but to become a winsome witness to a spiritually hungry but skeptical world, because life and truth matter. To learn more, or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It is a great joy and privilege to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Our contact information via the mail is Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. On the World Wide Web, it's equip.org, EQUIP.org, and via the phone, resource consultants are standing by that number, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up today, James in North Carolina, listening on the web. Hi, James.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
My question is, I recently heard two different opinions, and is the Ephesians 2:6 and the verse after that, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, so that in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. And my question is, are we seated now, or will it be sometime in the future in a coming age?
Well, there is a now aspect to the kingdom of God in that it has been inaugurated, but it hasn't been consummated. So there's a sense in which there's a veiled glory that we as yet express. That veiled glory will no longer be veiled in any sense, because there's a time in which the veil between the habitation of God and the habitation of humanity will be removed, and then we will see Christ, as it were, face to face. We will handle Him and touch Him and commune with Him very much like the disciples did during their earthly sojourn, but we will no longer be hampered by the problem of sin and Satan and selfishness. So Paul sees the people who belong to Jesus as being in Him, so that what is true of Jesus Christ is now true of them. He has been raised. Well, guess what? We have been raised as well. We partake in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the first resurrection. That is a spiritual resurrection. But in the consummation of all things, we shall also partake in a physical resurrection. So there is an inauguration we participate in. There's also going to be a consummation to the kingdom, and that is the greatest of all heavenly glories. By the way, this phrase is a phrase that Paul uses over and over throughout the book of Ephesians. So this is not a singular instance of him using that phrase. So Christ has been installed in glory in the heavenly realms. Well, guess what? So have we. And that is the truth of experiencing life to the full through Jesus Christ.
Okay. And another verse is in Colossians 2:15, and it says, "And having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." So the question that arose was, it's kind of our battle posture. You know, if we're seated with Christ in heavenly places, then we're seated with Him and we partake in His authority in some sense, I would think.
Well, we do.
In our battle with this dark, you know, the spiritual darkness.
Well, absolutely we do. That is correct, and that is very perceptive on your part. But it's also really important to recognize that while there are doctrinal realities or truths that we can communicate, which is to say that we are spiritually seated with Christ in the heavenly realms, that we partake of His glory even now, it is also true that there are practical means of grace, which is to say to experience life as Christ experienced life, or as Paul, who follows in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, experiences life, means that we are to practice spiritual disciplines. So to fully partake means that you practice those spiritual disciplines. And to your point, you get to Ephesians chapter 6, and you have the practical application of what Paul is talking about in Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. And that includes putting on the full armor of God. Now, that is not only a theoretical or doctrinal truth, but that is something that we have to practically apply. So it involves what we call the spiritual disciplines. Those spiritual disciplines are not things that happen by osmosis or by statement, but rather by practice. So Paul is constantly putting to death the old man so that he can fully participate in heavenly realms of glory by living the crucified life. And that, again, involves means, and those means are the spiritual disciplines.
Right, right. All right, well, thank you very much.
Hey, appreciate your call. God bless you. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Robert. He's a Canadian listener, Montreal, Quebec. Hi, Robert.
Hi, really appreciate your program. I've just, new listener since actually end of last year.
Oh, wow.
And amazing, very very profound program.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. I had a little question for you concerning God's will for our vocation. I seem to still be sometimes confused on the vocation or direction if my vocation I'm taking and the vision I had is the right path towards the light and not towards the darkness. I could explain probably further by saying this path is musical. I always had the gift of music, singing, performing. I recently started a show which a lot of people appreciate, love, and I've had this since I was young, and I felt I wanted to use this talent through touching people and at the same time probably touching and witnessing to many others. But I seem to, there's many obstacles. And when do we know when to stop, or when do we know that this is really not the right path?
Yeah, you know, God, Robert, leads us through people and through circumstances. And so what we do is we are ships that are not anchored, but ships that are moving, and God directs that moving ship. So as you move towards your passion, to the exercise of the gift that God has given you, God is going to open some doors and close other doors, but He will most certainly use your gift. He didn't give you a gift for no reason at all. He gave you specific gifts, and you are called to use your gifts according to the grace given to you, just as I am called to use my gift according to the grace given to me. But that does not mean that we are not going to encounter obstacles. Of course we will. Satan does not want us to fully exercise our gift, because when we do, we bring glory to God. So we can expect opposition, but nonetheless continue to move and see God directing us in the midst of that opposition. So He directs, again, a moving ship, and most notably moves us through persons and through circumstances. So there will be doors that open as a result of the people you encounter and the experiences or circumstances that you experience.
Okay. And so, of course, I always had that fear that field is very, it's very easy to fall. And of course, maybe I guess it's got also to do with confidence, having the strength. I know I've got your audiobook about the covering to put the full armor of God. But a lot of times I've always kept away from that industry because I was afraid of the. But then again, on the other side, there's the flip coin where you could touch so many more people.
Well, that's right. And I love the fact that you put the emphasis there, Robert, because remember, in the covering, the first point I make is that so often in spiritual warfare, we put the emphasis in the wrong place. We put the emphasis on the power of Satan to pillage. But the emphasis in spiritual warfare is always on the power of God to protect. Therefore, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. So if you do put on the spiritual armor, if you do exercise those spiritual disciplines that I speak about in the covering, then you are a threat to Satan, not vice versa. So we do not have to fear the world because we have the power of the living Christ within us. But again, it doesn't come through osmosis. It comes through exercising spiritual disciplines. We are, unfortunately, coming up to station break. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
To find out more about the materials mentioned on the show, call a CRI resource consultant toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Our website is also an excellent reference destination to help you. Just go to equip.org and find articles by Hank, books, CDs, and DVDs. Again, that's equip.org. Or write CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. The Bible Answer Man will continue in just a moment. Winston Churchill once declared, "You may have to fight when there is no hope of victory, because it is better to perish than to live as slaves." Churchill sought to awaken those who were reluctant to fight against the advancing Nazi war machine. Today, a spiritual battle is taking place. Atheism advances in the West, and slavery to secularity is imprisoning more and more hearts and minds in the United States. For this reason, CRI's ministry is critical. But we need people willing to stand for truth, along with the financial provisions to accomplish its mission. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground Church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition Revised and Updated is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Why not drop us a line at CRI today? We'd love to hear from you. You can get in touch with us several ways. You can call us toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Also write to us at P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. Or if you're on the internet, look us up at www.equip.org. And now once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thanks very much, Randy, and we will go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Ryan listening in Abilene, Texas. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, Hank, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good, good. I really quickly wanted to just encourage you. I've been so blessed by just listening to the program. I feel like I've really learned to love the Lord, not just with my heart or with my actions, but really with my mind. And you're definitely one of the leaders in, you know, using your intellect for the Lord, and I just really appreciate it. So I want to say thank you.
Well, bless you. Thank you so much for that encouragement.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I apologize if I sound out of breath. I'm packing my car for a move right now. But anyways, the question, you talk a lot about spiritual disciplines, which I love and really appreciate. I've really struggled in the past with a lot of kind of burnout and anywhere from legalism to striving to burnout to lack of interest. And so I was just going to kind of ask about what you do personally to really build your inner man and grow in the spirit, but at the same time, not letting that become your God, like your schedule or your quiet time or your prayer list to become the thing that you're doing to become your end as opposed to your means. So if you have any kind of tips on that specifically, that'd be great.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I've oftentimes said is that our Lord modeled all the things that we talk about when we talk about the spiritual disciplines. For example, he often withdrew to lonely places and prayed, but why? Was it perfunctory? Was it legalism? No, because he desired fellowship with his Heavenly Father. And that is the whole issue with respect to spiritual disciplines. It is to embrace things so that our relationship with God is enhanced. And so, in essence, the things of this world go strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. So spiritual disciplines are disciplines that allow us to have a much fuller and more fruitful relationship with the Lord. And quite frankly, they are means by which we can, in fact, live the crucified life. So there are things that we have to put into practice in order to live the crucified life. And we see those things modeled in the Apostle Paul. I mean, after his conversion, one of the things that is so graphic in the biblical text is that he experienced solitude. In other words, he withdrew from the invasive sounds of the world so that he could experience fellowship with God. And out of that experience, he became the great apostle to the Gentiles. That could never have happened had he not experienced these kinds of spiritual disciplines. And what's particularly interesting in the life of the Apostle Paul, to your point, is that he once experienced the spiritual disciplines on the basis of pure legalism. He was a Pharisee. He practiced spiritual disciplines, but it was not in order to develop a full and rich and fragrant relationship with God. No, he was far removed from God. He didn't know God. He was the enemy of God. He persecuted God's people. It was only after he was converted that those same spiritual disciplines were now practiced for an altogether different reason. And that was the reason modeled by Jesus Christ that I referred to earlier, which is he often withdrew to lonely places. Now, not because it was a Pharisaical practice or legalism, but because he desired fellowship with his Heavenly Father.
That's great. Do you have, maybe any practical advice for maybe seasons when it maybe starts to feel, just less desired or less enjoyable, like how to kind of keep your own heart in tune or connected to the Lord so it's not becoming this kind of a, I'm not connected with God, I'm just doing this because I'm a Christian, this is what I'm supposed to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And let me be totally transparent here to you. You know, I have been very, very strong throughout my Christian life in the matter of doctrine. In other words, in the matter of setting the plumb line. But Paul said to Timothy, watch your life and doctrine closely, persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. As a result of the time that I have spent in places where Christians are persecuted, I've seen visibly, tangibly, palpably, people who live the crucified life. And quite frankly, it has stunned me such that this has become an endeavor on my own part to seek to do exactly what you allude to, not practice spiritual disciplines out of necessity, but because I want to develop the ability to live the crucified life. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And so I have to humbly confess that I am a work in progress in this very thing myself. And as we speak, I am deeply immersed in trying to learn to implement spiritual disciplines, but for the right motivation, not in legalism, but rather in desire to have fellowship with Christ through living the crucified life out of which everything else flows.
That's great. That's great. Thank you so much, Hank.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. The disciplines for the spiritual life, rightly understood, are time-tested activities that you consciously, that you partake in a premeditated way, because we want the Spirit to have more and more say and sway over our lives. And this is God's kingdom taking place of the habits of sin that are embedded within us, which is to say, we want the kingdom to shine through us in a practical sense so that we are living exemplars of the kingdom of God on earth, how it will be when Jesus Christ comes and fully establishes his reign. This is something, as I say, deeply immersed in this, and it's something that I just feel passionately consumed with at this point, because again, Paul says doctrine matters, but perhaps life matters even more. I want to go back to the phone lines. Shane next in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Shane.
Hi, Hank. How you doing today?
Good, thank you.
It's a pleasure to talk with you. I recently listened to a debate on atheism by the late Greg Bahnsen and an atheist he debated, and I was quite impressed with his approach. And he's a presuppositional apologist, and in the debate, I found it kind of amazing. He used the idea that biblical Christianity is true because of the impossibility of the contrary, and I think he called it the transcendental argument. And he also used and made another interesting point. I think about antithesis, the idea that the unbeliever, even when he's arguing against Christianity, has to use the borrowed capital of Christianity to even argue against it. And I'm wondering, what is your opinion of presuppositional apologetics? Because I was quite impressed with that approach. It's very unique.
Yeah. Well, presuppositionalism is the idea that biblical revelation is the presupposition upon which any coherent system of truth must be built. And just a side note here, it is true that in our culture today, people are living off of the capital of a biblical worldview and oftentimes do not realize that the benefits they now have are directly attributable to a biblical worldview. By the way, in contrast, evidentialism is the idea that the truth of Christianity can be established by appealing to historical evidences, which I believe is absolutely true. But let's look at what's going on here. First of all, we have to recognize that everyone has presuppositions. If you, for example, presuppose philosophical naturalism, then Christianity is going to be false a priori, even prior to examination. So presuppositions play a powerful role in our lives. Another issue I think that's very important in the debate is Christians disagree as to the effects of the fall on the reasoning process itself and the ability to embrace truth. So a presuppositional apologist believes our minds are so affected by the fall that there's virtually no common ground with unbelievers with respect to the truth of the gospel, simply because their point of view is that dead men cannot respond to evidences. And therefore, all presuppositionalists are Calvinists, but not all Calvinists are presuppositionalists. Evidentialists have presuppositions, I think we have to acknowledge, and presuppositionalists use evidence. And I think oftentimes presuppositionalists fail to recognize that they're using evidences in the process of their reasoning prowess itself. We're out of time for this edition of the broadcast, but look forward to seeing you right back here next time with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thanks for tuning in.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Soviet Red Army won the Battle of Stalingrad. It appeared at first the Nazi war machine would secure the victory, but the Soviets battled back from near certain defeat with extraordinary courage and resoluteness to turn the tide of the battle and ultimately the war. The lesson is that both men and material, people and provisions played a critical role. Willingness to fight and munitions in the arsenal were pivotal. Our contemporary battle for truth against anti-Christian secularists raises the stakes above the significance of Stalingrad. CRI likewise needs military partners willing to stand for truth, along with the financial means to accomplish the mission. Stand with us during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org.